Thanks for coming to being part of what's happened here. Are you excited about God today? You're just excited about what he's doing. Amen. We are in the middle of our series called Family Meeting, and hopefully we're getting something out of this. And I know sometimes we joke about, why are we talking about perseverance a lot? Because of the fact that if you look at the New Testament, it's all about perseverance and really pushing through. But I believe God has got some great things for us today, and good to see you in the house today, my friend. Good to see Eric in the house today. Came through looking, you're looking better, which is good. Looking better. Chris Devine, good to have you back, man. A little layaway is back. So we're in our series called Family Meeting, and I believe today, if you enter in, I believe this is, as I was preparing for it, it was more of a prophetic word for you that God was speaking to me. And so you'll see as we get into it why I say what it is and why it's that way. So anyway, the book of James chapter 1, as we read it, it says, "Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial because, having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him." He said, blessed. What it means is happy. Happy is the one who perseveres under trial. Because what happens is, in our relationship with God, is that it's not until we go through the difficult things that we actually realize the true joy of the Lord in our life. And he says happy because he knows the result of what it looks like to persevere. If you've been in any situation in your life when you've gone through something very difficult and you've pushed through it, the reward of what it felt like to finish felt greater than what it was when you were actually going through it. And it did something for you, and it opened your eyes and it opened really your heart to just a whole new dimension of who God was because of that perseverance in your life. Happy. God wants us happy, but it doesn't come without perseverance. And so if you look at your life right now, and you look at the state of where it's at, are you doing a good job of persevering through the trial? We're going to get a little bit into this today because I want you to get a perspective on where God is really coming from. Because what I believe he's sharing with us today is, first of all, what you're going through in your life right now, this is just a test. It's just a test. The problem is that we get taken back by the test like we're surprised by it. When in reality, the Bible says, don't be surprised or don't think it's strange that this has come upon you. And so as a reminder today, don't think it's strange as far as what's happening to you right now. It's not uncommon. Because as a believer and as a Christian, this is just part of what happens in your life. There are seasons of joy. There are seasons of peace. There are seasons when you're on the mountain. There are seasons when you're in a valley. But understand, this is just part of it. But you could have joy in the midst of it. So it's just a test. You're not going crazy. It's not something that you're not going to make it through, but it's just a test. So tell yourself that even right now, even in your own mind, it is just a test. And the good thing about it is the one who's giving the test knows what it takes for you to pass it. Because he's already passed it himself. And so the whole idea about this idea about family meeting is for us to understand family of believers, what God has called us to as believers, yes, but how we're supposed to walk through life as believers. And I believe the more we go through in our life, the more God begins to birth tenacity in our life to continue to move. What happens is, if you look at the New Testament, most of these guys, when they first met Jesus, were broken. They didn't have any direction. But when they met Jesus and they spent time with him, these are the men that we read about today who busted through walls, who fought through hardship, who stood in faith so that we could today declare who Jesus Christ is because of their life. And so you don't realize in your life right now, the way you're going through things in your life and the way you're pushing through things are that people are going to look at your life and look back and say, you know what? I saw what they did and how they went through it. And I believe that the same God who brought them through it is going to bring me through it. And so you don't realize the magnitude and the gravity of why you're going through some of the stuff you're going through now, but God does. And so happy is the man if you continue to persevere. And so understanding that is important. Because just like in school, there are different levels and there are different grades in your relationship with Christ and in Christianity, and those who've been walking with him for a while know that there are different levels and different degrees that God takes us through. And so this one has to be dealt with in order for us to move on to the next one. And why is it done this way? I don't know. But God has set it up this way so that the testing of your faith, while you're going through it, is being built up so that in the end, you become more and more like Jesus. This is the way he set it up. And the Bible says that your faith is much more precious than silver or gold. And so these are the times in our life where God wants us to push. And we talked about last week how sometimes we have a tendency to want to lean back and get lenient in our relationship with the Lord. But there is no regression. There's only progression. Because listen, if we think about it this way, some people say, well, I'm stuck. You're never stuck. You're either moving forward or you're moving backwards. And so in our life as a Christian right now, what is God asking you to persevere through and push through? Because on the other side of it, the blessing is worth what you're dealing with right now. So number one, this is a test. Can we agree with that? It's only a test. You're going to pass it. Okay. Now, the other thing we have to deal with today is this, is that some of us stay too long in the test where we keep repeating the third grade. Where God said, listen, you've got a full beard now, okay? You're maturing. It's time to move on because you're out of place. And so I need you to move on into this area. And so the hard thing about Christianity sometimes is this, is that we understand that these hard things come into our life, but how long do we have to stay in it? And when does God want me to get out? This is what I believe. I believe that God has a timetable, but I also believe that it is up to us how long we actually stay in it. Because of our attitude and our perspective in the situation. If you find yourself always failing a certain test, then you have to look at yourself and say, listen, what am I doing to continue to fail this thing? Lord, give me the wisdom so I can actually pass it. Because frankly, I'm getting sick of going through the same thing in my life. How many of you, you've watched TV before or you've been in the car and you hear that annoying beeping sound that comes on, and I don't want to try to mimic it, but it comes on, and then it says, this is a test of the emergency broadcast system. And you know it's a test because you're familiar with that annoying sound that's there, correct? And you know it in your life that you're actually going through a test because it's annoying to you. This thing is annoying, and it's starting to irritate me. And so God says, yes, absolutely, it's part of the test that I'm allowing you to take right now. And so if you can endure the annoyance, you know, on the other side, there's actually peace. But if we can't push through that, we'll never begin to experience the peace. The Bible calls it that peaceable fruit of righteousness that's on the other side of it. And so you cannot stay longer in the test that God has called you to stay in because, frankly, we get too comfortable with it. And this is what I want to help you understand this. Guys, throw this up here. This point, it says, talking about lingering and what this actually looks like, linger. To stay in a place longer than necessary, typically because of a reluctance to leave. You cannot linger longer than you're supposed to be in the situations that you're going through in your life right now, because what happens is it actually begins to work against you. So instead of it actually pushing you to get better, what happens is, and let's be very honest, we get tired of fighting. We get tired of standing. And so rather than fight or push through, what we do is we just kind of relax a little bit and say, you know what, I'll never make it, and I'll never push through. And so we begin to get complacent. And we get comfortable in that complacency. And it's the very thing that got the Israelites in trouble in the Old Testament. They got complacent because they got their eyes off Jesus and what he was actually doing. And because they got their eyes off Jesus, that he actually had to turn them over and say, listen, most of you are not going to enter into the promised land that I've set out for you to enter into because of your disobedience and your complaining and your murmuring. And I wonder to ourselves, how many of us are not entering into what God wants us to enter into because of our mouth and our disobedience? One of the hardest things for us to do is to simply be obedient. Is it not? Think about your kids. You've got kids. One of the hardest things for them to do is be obedient, consistent. because they have a tendency to want to take their own life back and do what they want to do because they think they know everything or they know better than you do. And so wonder how God feels is that God asks us to be obedient, but we play this game with God of where we continue to take our life back because we think that we know better. And God says, listen, if you'll just keep it with me, we can avoid some of the things that you have brought on yourself that I haven't brought in, and that we can get through this stuff quicker. But what happens is that we have a tendency to want to hold on to what God is trying to keep or take, and as a result of that, we end up walking around in the wilderness for 40 years when it should have took like 11 days. But God is so good and he's so gracious that he gives us the test again. And how many of you know what I mean? It's like you're in a season of your life and you're doing well and you're like, I think I got this one down. And all of a sudden, something comes around in your life again. It's like a thread. And it's like, man, I thought I already dealt with this. And it's like, no, we haven't dealt with this. You buried that one because you thought you passed it, but you didn't. And so I'm bringing it right back around again because I remember, because I want you to deal with it. So God brings stuff right back around, and he's got this amazing boomerang effect. He doesn't forget, and what he sets out for us to walk through has the tendency to always come back around so we can finish walking through it. That's just his word does not return void. It's going to accomplish what it's supposed to accomplish. And so if God has placed things in your life and he's designed things for you to walk through in your life, guess what? Until we walk through those things, we're not getting to the next spot. And it is hard to hear that in our life. But here's the deal. You can't linger in that place because you have a reluctance to actually want to leave that place. Maybe if you're honest in here, you don't have to raise your hand. How many of you have gotten comfortable in the trial and you really haven't pushed through to really what God is trying to show you? Because you said, you know what, it's too hard for me. I'll never be able to pass it. And instead of pushing through and getting to where God wants you to get, you said, you know what, I'll just stay here. The problem with just staying is that you end up dying. And God didn't come so that you can die. He came so that you can have life. And so there are things in your life right now, and we've said this before, that might be dying old ways, old patterns, old thoughts, but those are the things that are supposed to die, not you. And so God's wanting you to come to life, but those things have to go. The Israelites could not have went into the promised land with same old patterns from Egypt. And so God continues to do that in our life. And you know it's true. We hear some of the same messages or the same ideas because God is trying to get you to understand. Listen, this thought process, this thing cannot go with you. Because as a father, be doing you not a good service to let you stay this way and to enter into all that I have for you, because you'd be thinking about yesterday when I'm trying to get you to think about today and the future. And how many of us have gone through that process and a pattern in our life where we still have old childish ways that God's trying to kill, not realizing that he wants us to come into full maturity as sons and daughters, so that we can actually possess what he's called us to possess. But you can't give an adult or you can't give a kid adult things. It just doesn't work that way. And so God has to grow us up before he can give us what we need in order to accomplish what he's called us to do. But the kid in us has got to go. Not that we don't believe God with childlike faith. I'm not saying that at all. But the kid, the childish ways. When I don't get my way, I pout. When I don't get my way, I turn my back. And we said this before. Some of us get halfway to atheism when we don't get where we're supposed to get from God. Oh, I don't believe God anymore. He's not for me. Just because God didn't give you what you thought he should give you, because what happens is we think he's Santa Claus. And we say, God, this is my list. And if God doesn't give us a list, then all of a sudden, well, he's not God. No, God's sovereign over all. And if God doesn't give you something, he's still God. But he knows what's best for you. But you can't just pull down the slot and give you what you want in your life because you think it's best for you and not realizing that God is a God and he's a good father and he's going to give you what you need. You being evil, you being a human being, don't do that to your kids. And God would be doing a disservice to you to give you what you want all the time. Correct? Correct. Remember the Jim Carrey movie when he wanted to play God? And he was so fed up with everything. He's at the computer, and all these prayer requests are coming in, and he pressed yes the whole way down. And he looked out the window, and everything was on fire. People were just in chaos in their life, and it was just crazy. And not realizing later on, and then God, so gracious, Morgan Freeman, God bless him, right? He's so good, right? Comes back in, and then in an instant, things come back into peace. And that's who God is, and God will allow us to complain and murmur, but he'll come back in and bring peace and correction when he needs to. But you know as well as I do, if God gave you everything you wanted in your life, you would self-destruct. Because God knows that without boundaries and blessings, it's just a detriment to you. And so God's good. And so we can't linger here. We can't linger in the trial because, well, this is the way it's going to be. No, I actually have a plan for you to get through it. I actually want you to figure this thing out and to learn what I'm trying to learn, because I do want to give you more things, but I can't let you stay. And so for some of you, if that stuff is coming back up in your life constantly, you know it's God. If it's one time, okay, that's just me, whatever. But if it's just happening in your life consistently, guess what? Lord's trying to deal with it in your life. Trying to deal with it. Because he knows that in the end, it's going to be a detriment to you and not a blessing. That's just who God is. Because there's too much at stake. There's too much at stake. If you could see the impact that your life is going to have, you would be more willing to deal with what you have to deal with and get through it than just pitter around hoping that it's going to get done. Listen, the longer I live and the more I walk with the Lord, the more he asks us to confront things, not run away from things. There is no, like, sidestepping stuff because you're afraid of confrontation. So what God does, and he's so beautiful at this, he allows us into a situation and says, listen, you got one or two options here. You're either going to confront this thing or you're going to try to get around it, but all I'm going to do is bring you right back around it, and you're going to front it again. And then we can go through this dance, and you can walk in anxiety. You can want to throw up every time it happens. But listen, you're going to confront this thing. Because all it's doing in your life is that it's stopping you from building the spiritual muscle that I'm calling you to build in your life and getting you to the place of faith yet, because you're sidestepping it. I haven't called you to sidestep it. Now, is God good? Will God give you wisdom in order to avoid certain things in your life? Yes, he will. But God does not ask us not to confront stuff. And you know when he's asking you to do it. Because inside of you, the inside says, no, I'm not doing it. But the outside God says, by the way, yeah, you're going to do it because this is part of your growth. I want you to grow. I don't have to grow. I'm already grown. You have to grow. You need the spiritual muscle in order to handle what's coming next in your life. And we forget that because we're so focused on here and now, and you don't realize that what God has for us, there has to be preparation for it now so that you can handle it then. That's just how it works. And we keep asking God for stuff and to do stuff, and God said, listen, I am doing stuff, but I'm doing stuff in you. Well, that's not what it's supposed to be. Yeah, no, that's how it's supposed to be. I'm doing it in you first. There's too much at stake. Your life, there's too much at stake in your life. There's too much of an impact. There's destiny. Their lives are on the line. Your future is on the line for you to stay in this situation long. How many of you get tired of yourself sometimes? Anybody ever get tired of yourself? You just get tired of it. How many of you just, you get the perspective with God sometime, you're like, man, he's probably just like, dude, seriously. Do we have to go through this again? Do you have to doubt me again in the same pattern? Do we have to go through the same thought process again? Or can we just actually believe it, receive it, learn it, and move on? Can we do it? Because all you're doing is delaying the inevitable. And I think in our life, sometimes we do that. We think, well, if I kind of slow it down, then God won't make me go through it. No, you're delaying the inevitable. The inevitable will happen. Listen, a couple things that you're going to know. Jesus is coming back. He is coming back. You can't delay it. He's coming back, okay? He's being patient right now. Second thing is that what God has foreordained and what he already has spoken forth will happen. Will happen, okay? The things in your life that you're trying to slow down, you have no control over those situations whatsoever. So sometimes in our life, what we do is that we think that if we can just hold off a little bit, then it won't be as bad. But we don't realize the fact that, number one, you're not in control of your life. God is. And that God's purpose will go forth in the earth today. And he wants you to go with in this purpose. With him. There's a time frame for your life right now. The Bible says there's appointed once for a man to die and the judgment. I don't know about you. I don't want to spend my life going through the same stuff over and over again and not experiencing the goodness of God in the land of the living and really seeing his kingdom done here on earth as it is in heaven and really stepping into my full purpose and having to deal with stuff that I should have dealt with years ago or God's just trying to deal with. Just get over it in my life. You don't have time for that. There's no time. Some people, well, I got a lot of time. What time do you think you have? You have the time that God has allowed you today and that you have a hope in him, yes, but you don't actually realize that time in itself is moving and that you have an obligation as a Christian to say, okay, God, what is it actually that you have put me on this earth to do, and I got to start doing it. I got to do it. There should be something inside of you right now, that internal clock that's kicking that says, I got to find out what that purpose is. Lord, I have to see what you've promised in my life begin to unfold in my life right now because, A, I've been through too much in my life, and, B, I want you more than anything. And I think, let's be honest, isn't that where God's trying to get us? Lord, I want you more than anything else. Because once I get there, and then I think God says, okay, now we're ready to do some work. Because you won't be looking at everybody else for what they think. You'll be looking at me. That's where I wanted to get you. That's where I wanted to get the Israelites. I wanted to get them away from that Egypt mentality to know that I am their God. I am their provider. I am their healer. I am the one. And God is trying to get us away from that stuff so that we can actually look at him as our source and realize that without him, it's not going to be done anyway. And so us trying to figure it out and do it on our own doesn't really afford us the benefits that we think it really does in our life. So trying to do it on our own doesn't work, but realizing God is the source is where we need to be, because once that happens, is that then all of a sudden we see things happen in our life. Isn't that what God's been trying to do to you? Think about it in your life. Trying to kick out stuff in your life, little crutches. Well, I'm holding on to that. No, you're not. Well, can I? Nope. No, you're not. This whole process of us in this church planting process over the last several years, guys, has been God doing this. Kick that. You thought it was going to be that way? Nope. Kick that. Because I'm relying on me. The world needs to see a church walking in power and knowing who Jesus Christ is because of the relationship that we have together. And it's only going to come if you solely rely upon me. Not on what you think, not on what it's supposed to be or what you think it's supposed to be, but allowing me to move through you. That's what I'm after. That's what I'm after. I'm not looking for people who are jaded by Christianity. I'm not looking for people who are religious. I'm not looking for people who have it all together. I'm looking at people who really want to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit and be blessed in every area of their life, but realize that I am the source. I'm looking for people who want to walk in power. Actually, what I'm looking at, I'm looking for people who are going to walk like the New Testament church is supposed to walk. That's what I'm looking for. And so we're so concerned about keeping the old that God wants to bring in the new. But you can't have the new unless God gets rid of that old. You can't have one and the other. You got to give up one in order to get this. And you know how it works. It's like we struggle to give up one, and we see the goodness of God. We give it up, and God blesses us with something else. We're like, oh, God's so good. And that process continues in our life because God is always bringing us from where we were to where he wants us to be. That's how it works. There's too much at stake. The glory of God in your life, or you're experiencing the presence of God in your life, there's nothing like it. And you begin to realize that what God has for me in my life is so much bigger than even my thought process. Because my mind cannot comprehend what God has in store. But I know it's bigger than what I think in my life. And so the struggle that you're going through right now, it came to pass, not to stay. Don't stay in it longer than you have to stay in it. I'm going to say it again. Don't stay in it longer than you have to stay in it. And catch yourself on stuff, because what God is testing you is your attitude, the way you look at it. And he wants to see, is your heart really mine? Because there comes a point, and as we get ready to close, that all the songs that we sing, all the worship that we sing, God says, okay, is it really real? Is it really real? Let's all stand up to our feet if we could today. Here's the deal. I don't believe God wants us to lurk in the shadows anymore. You know, the shadows of where, like, nothing's really growing in our life. We're kind of just in the valley. We don't really know what's happening, what God's doing. I don't believe God has called us to walk there in our life. Sometimes there's transition. Yes, absolutely. But we have the mind of Christ. God gives us wisdom to walk through stuff. But we stay stuck in stuff that God's like, listen, if we can, come on. Come on. And he gives us the glimpse of what it can be in our life. And you be honest, you've seen what it can be. It can be this. But you can't keep running back to that. Sometimes God comes in and says, okay. Every single day gives us an opportunity to say, okay, is this the day that we're going to get past it? And you know what it looks like because you feel yourself losing a little more control of what you think. And instead of saying, okay, I'm going to let the process happen, we say, no, it's too much. But you don't realize that it's in that letting go, letting the process happen, that God is actually performing what you're asking him to perform. Because what you're doing is that you're letting go of the crutch and you're allowing me to come in and this is where we need to be. And so next time you pray that prayer, next time you feel it coming in, you've got a decision to make. Am I going to say, okay, maybe? Or am I going to say, no, yes, Lord, let the process take place. Because on the other side of it is where you actually want to be. In peace, in joy, seeing the good things of God. But we've got to get past it. And really when it comes down to it, is that, and honestly, it's believing that God is who he says he is and that he will perform what he says he's going to perform and that I can trust him and let go. Well, I don't know about that. No, not let control. No, you're in self-control, yes. Let go of it. Because that's where you're going to see the strength and the power in your life to do what God has called you to do. Because all you're doing is lurking. You're lurking in the shadows. You're not even experiencing what I want you to experience. You're kind of not even, you're neither here or there. I want you to be there. I want you to be in the promised land. I want you to be tasting milk. I want you to be tasting honey. I want you to be having grape, everything. I want you to have that in your life, but we've got to cross over some stuff. And we cross over by letting go. It's not worth missing for what you think your life should be like. If you've gotten a glimpse and a taste of who God is, you know that it's not worth the miss. But here's what we have to continue to ask yourself. Am I continually willing to say yes to what you want me to do, no matter how uncomfortable it is? Because I realize that I can trust my life into your hands, because you know better than I do, and you know where I need to be better than I know. And so I believe God wants us just to get to that place in our life, guys, where we believe that he is good all the time, that his intentions are good. And some of you need to hear that today. His intentions are good. He has plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you hope and a future. It's not harm. My intentions are good. It's difficult and it doesn't feel good, but my intentions are good because I know what the result is going to be like. I've got good intentions. Some of you need to hear that today. He loves you. He's got good intentions. He has not abandoned you. But sometimes it's uncomfortable and you don't feel good. God knows what he's doing. Amen.